Good morning, everybody. Chester Airy Church Devotional Podcast. I'm Clint Davis. Here we go.
All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread.
All right, Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to pick this up in verse 9. It's a poem of King Hezekiah that he writes after he had been sick and restored by the grace of God. Verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 38 through verse 20. Here we go. A poem by King Hezekiah of Judah after he had been sick and recovered from his illness. I said, in my prime of my life, I must go down to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I will never see the Lord in the land of the living. I will not look on humanity any longer with the inhabitants of what is passing away. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. I have rolled up my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. By nightfall, you make an end of me. I thought until the morning, he will break all my bones like a lion. By nightfall, you will make an end of me. I chirp like a swallow or a crane. I moan like a dove. My eyes grow weak looking upward. Lord, I am oppressed. Support me. What can I say? He has spoken to me, and he has himself done it. I walk along slowly in all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and in every one of them my spirit finds life. You have restored me to health and let me live. Indeed, it was for my own well-being that I had such intense bitterness. But your love has delivered me from the pit of destruction, for you have thrown all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit, they cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, only the living can thank you. As I do today, a father will make your faithfulness known to his children. The Lord is ready to save me. We will play stringed instruments in the days of our lives, all the house of the Lord. What a beautiful poem. It's a story, it's a response, I should say, of a man who has been healed from a terrible affliction. Hezekiah was given an affliction. He was arrogant. In his arrogance and his pride, he received this affliction from the Lord, which humbled him and brought him down to the point of destruction, to the point of death. When you get to that point in life, if you've ever known somebody that's been through that, or maybe you've been through that yourself, you know that it has an effect on you. It can't help but change you when you have to confront your own mortality. And King Hezekiah found himself in a situation in the prime of his life. He was, you know, at the prime of his life, he was doing the best that he could. He had finally arrived. He was at the prime. He was going to accomplish great things. And he came down with this illness, with this affliction. And it changes him. It changes you if you've been through that, or you know other people that have been through it, or maybe you've been with somebody as they've gone through that. You confront that mortality, it changes you. It brings affliction into your life. It brings pain, but it brings humility as well. So he goes from an arrogant king to a broken man. God, in his purpose, does this. It's wonderful. Hezekiah recognizes this. You know, those kinds of events in our lives, those kind of circumstances in our lives, serve not only to humble us, but they also give us perspective. Because as I read toward the end of that poem, Hezekiah says, it was for my own well-being that I had such bitterness in my soul. And God, he realizes that God brought him to that point so that he would have that point of humility. It was for his own well-being to be brought down that low so that he could experience the redemption, experience the healing of God. You know, I think that's an incredibly important point, not to over-spiritualize things, but it's incredibly important point for us, because God sometimes will make us feel the effects of our sin to the point where we recognize the depths of our sin and we can find ourselves moving toward despair because we are having to come to grips with the reality of our mortality, but also the depths of our sin. And that's actually a really good thing. We have a bitter taste in our mouth because of the sins that we have committed or because of the circumstances that we're undergoing. And that's a really good thing because it shows us the beauty and the wonder of the redemption of Christ, that God has given to us in his love and his grace, that his healing is perfect and wonderful. And without understanding the bitterness of that sin, we would never know the glory and the joy of that love. You see, that's what I think so important for us as we think about being biblical Christians, in the Bible, we have a wonderful testimony that we have to confront the reality of our sin, taste its bitterness, so that we can then know the joy of our salvation. Or as Billy Graham used to say, you had to get people lost before you could get them saved. And so the idea is we have to recognize, biblically speaking, that we are sinners before the presence of God. And that's hard. We don't want to do that in our modern society. Modernity doesn't want us to do that. We want to always be progressing, always thinking we're good, always thinking that we're inherently good. But the reality of it is we're all sinners, rebellious against our Creator. And once we come to grips with that reality, it may make us feel bad, but in coming to grips with that, then we can begin to know the joy of the transformation that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings new life into our hearts. King Hezekiah says, "It was for my own good that I went through this bitterness, so that I might know the joy of being healed by God." The Lord has done this, he says. He did it of his own accord. He brought the healing into my life. There was nothing we could do. I was going to die. I was on my deathbed. But the Lord decided to save me. The Lord did for King Hezekiah what King Hezekiah could not do for himself. Just as he has done for you what you cannot do for yourself eternally by giving you salvation. Just as he did for the people of Jerusalem, which we've already seen in the story of Isaiah, by delivering them from the king of Sennacherib. God does what you cannot do for yourself. And he has the ability to do it. And he does it for his own glory, and our response to him is to give him thanks. I love King Hezekiah as he ends this poem. He says, "For death cannot praise you, death cannot thank you. Those who are in Sheol can't rest upon you for salvation, but only those who are living, only those who have experienced the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy of God can give praise to you, and I am going to do that." Wouldn't it be great if we'd all decide, as Christians in particular, to give our hearts devoted to him and praise day in and day out, to say, "Thank you, I love you, I think the world will be different, I think our witness and our testimony would be different, and I know God would be more glorified in the world in which we live." Hey, you guys, be encouraged by that. God brings us through to give us the joy. It is for our own good to suffer through bitterness and to feel the effects of our sins so we can know the joy of salvation, and then we respond to that with thanksgiving and praise, both now and forevermore. You guys have a great day. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. You can.